Have your Bibles this morning. Turn back with me to Revelation. We'll be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, but with the third sermon on Revelation. And if you will stand in honor of reading God's Word. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, but I'm going to go back. The Lord wants me to go back to chapter 1. Verse 1. Go with me to chapter 1, verse 1. You got it? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. God gave him to show his servants. Pay attention to that. Things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signed it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Pay attention. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and Father, I thank you for the spirit that I feel in this place, Lord God. Thank you for those that are here this morning, Lord God. And I pray that as we open up your word, Lord God, that your word does not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, that we hear your word. Father, we do your word, we understand your word, and we take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord God. And Father, as we read this, as we go through this book of Revelations in the next weeks and months to come, Lord God, help us to comprehend, Lord God. Help us to understand what it says. And help us to, God, to put you first in our lives, Lord God. To seek you first, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, Lord God. And God, all these things, Lord, will be added to us. Father, we just thank you for your word and for your blessing. Thank you for the songs this morning, God, that we sang, Lord God. And Father, we do look forward to that day, God. But Lord, while we still tarry here, I just pray that there are those that would come to know you, Lord God, that may be here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord God. And I pray that if you call on their lives today, Lord God, that they would come to you and confess their sins, Lord God. And we just give you the praise. We ask you, Lord God, to take this service. And Lord, for your glory, not for mine, use me as a mouthpiece and to your people. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord, I want to start out in chapter 2, but I don't know if I'll even get there this morning. But we're going to chapter 1, the introduction. Remember I told y'all, or we done the introduction the other day, Revelation. John is the one that is writing the Revelation, but Jesus Christ is the one that is giving it to John. And I want you to pay attention. I said some things that when we started this 3 weeks ago that I want to repeat again this morning. God wants me to repeat. There's a lot of churches and a lot of people that completely stay away from the book of Revelation because they say that you can't understand it, that it's too far out there, that it was this dream that this guy had, and they just not sure about it. And then the seminaries that I attended in Southwestern, they tell people, you know, this is what it says it could be, or it could be this, or it could be that. But I want to read this first part again this morning. And it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ means that this is the end of the book. Revelation means final. Revelation means the last chapter. This is the last chapter in the book. And if you as men and women, teenagers, people that are of age enough to understand, you will surely know by looking around you that our world is in a mess. Every way you look. You go read Matthew 24 and it talks about famines and pestilence and earthquakes and all these things. Famines and pestilence is, how long have you been to the grocery store lately and saw the shelves bare? That's exactly what God tells us. Go read Matthew 24 and take those words and see what they mean in the dictionary. And that's exactly what it means. Infectious disease and grocery shortages. It is happening. And so God tells us in Revelation chapter 1, he said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of some man that made it up. It's not the revelation of somebody that just thought this up. It's a dream, all right, but it's a dream that is supposed to be written down. For my God told John, he said, write this down. Write down what is going on. And so John the servant writes this down. And so he says, write down the things that are shortly, that are going to take place. This is what is going to take place. And remember what I said last week? So many people believe that, so many men have taken God's word, and I can't help, I want you to understand this before we go too much further in the book. They take God's word and they take locusts and they make them helicopters. And they take things that God said, it is plain. They take the locusts, the helicopter. It's not no locust. God said it. I mean, it's not no helicopter. God said it was a locust. Why do I want to make it a helicopter? If God wanted it to be a helicopter, God knew there would be helicopters. He'd have put helicopters. Why does man try to take God's word and twist it and turn it? It's a dream. God told John, you write these things down because this is what is going to happen shortly. And then he says, I'm going to read the whole thing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant, these things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel, put the stamp on it by the angel, to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. John was on this island of Patmos. We'll talk about that in a minute. I told you that the island of Patmos was an island. It's off of the western coast of Asia Minor. It is a place today. It's got about 3,000 inhabitants. It is a real place. John was on this island because he got ran out of Asia Minor for preaching, and the Romans had run him completely off, and Jesus has him there, and he says, write these things down. This is what's going to happen. And then when John obeys God in verse 3 there, he says, blessed is he who reads. Pay attention to that. Blessed is he who reads. Those of you who read it. Blessed are those who read, those who hear the word of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it. For the time is near. So he said, blessed are you if you read God's word and you take it. In the very end of the book, it says, anybody that adds to or takes away from this is in bad trouble. So why do we have to make it up as being something else? Today, in chapter 2, we start out talking about the churches. And I will remind you again that Revelations was not written to a lost world. Well, it's written to a lost world. I said that last week. It was written to a lost world, but it was written to the church so that they could carry the word to the lost world out there. The church in Revelation, the churches were messing up. That's what happened. John had preached, and of course, Paul started the churches, and the church in Ephesus, the one that we'll read about in a minute. He started the church of Ephesus, and there was only like 12 Christians found there, and they started all the churches that we will talk about in the next weeks and months to come. He started these churches, and God is telling him, hey, John, I want you to go back, and I want you to tell these churches this, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the first church. And he says that I'm going to tell y'all these things, and he says again, blessed are you who keep this. You see, these churches got away from God. The same way that the churches of the United States of America and the world today have got away from God. They want to tickle people's ears. They want to sell them fire insurance. They want to tell them how wonderful everything is going to be. It is. It's going to be wonderful. Jesus Christ is wonderful. But I want you to remember, Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross. He shed his blood on that cross at Calvary for you and I. And when he did that, he arose from that tomb that they put him in. And he went to prepare a place for us, and he is preparing a place for us. He's going to come again someday and receive us under himself, because he says that where he goes, he wants us to be with him, and that is the way it's going to be. And if you don't believe that, you're already in trouble. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he warns us. He loves us. God loved us nothing. He gave his son to die on that cross. But there is a day coming when he is going to get sick and tired of us, and he is going to look to Jesus, and he's going to say, "Son, go bring my church home." And at that time, he is going to come, and those that believe, those that are saved, are going to go and be caught up with him in the sky, and we're going to go to heaven. And then there's going to be 7.5 years of total misery on this earth that we live in. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "To the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things says, he who holds the 7 stars in his hand, and who walks in the midst of the golden lampstand." He's talking to the church, and he's talking to the pastors of the churches. That's exactly what he is talking about. You read it back up a little bit in Revelation 1. It says, Revelation 1:20 says, "The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands stand." The 7 stars are the angels, of the 7 churches. And the 7 lampstands are the churches. So he's talking to the pastors of the churches, the people of the churches, and they are the lampstand, and God is walking among them as God is right here with us today, and he is walking among us, and he is telling us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and that we need to pay attention because the time is growing short. Let me read Revelation 2, 1 through 7. Says to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and I have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the needs of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." He who has an ear, again, says this over and over and over in Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God is talking to John, and he is telling them to go tell the churches. Now, I mentioned a while ago when Paul came, Ephesus was a major seaport in Asia Minor. It's the first church that God talks to. When Paul founded the church of Ephesus, there was only 7 members. He started the church. The church was going real good. Of course, Paul had left, and now the people in Ephesus, they serve the Greek gods, and they worship the gods, and they had got away from all this. They had got away from the teachings of God. And so Jesus speaks to the church, and he tells them, he says, well, and I want to back up just a little bit. When Paul came to Ephesus, he found the 12 Christians, and the people there was worshiping Artemis, the god. And if you look in Acts 19:24, when you get time, it tells about, then Paul's writing, He talks about this church and he talks about their God. Jesus speaks to the churches. And Jesus tells the churches these things that I want to go with you this morning. First thing he tells them is, I know your works. I know your works. Do you not believe that Jesus Christ knows our works here at Oakhurst Full Gospel Church? Do you not think that Jesus Christ knows every move that your pastor makes, every move that you make, every time that you tell him no, every time that you obey him? He knows the good things you do and the bad things you do. And he tells us right here in his word, I know your works. I know your labors. You work hard. You're working. You're doing some of the things that I told you to do. You are working hard. And so many churches today work hard. They got all kind of things going on for the people. All kind of good things going on for the people. All kind of programs and all kind of concerts and all these things. But you know what people need today? They need to get into this Bible and they need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we need. Programs are good. Fellowships are good. I want to have them like we had last night. But don't ever let us take our eyes off of the Lord, because this is what's happened to this church. I know your works. I know your labors. You're patient. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard to be patient. Sometimes it's hard to be patient. It really is. Sometimes it is so hard for men and women to be patient, because you see everything that's falling down around you, and you look at, you witness to people, you pray for people, you help people, and it just seems that they don't hear anything that you say. Let me tell you about that. God says, tell them, and don't worry about it after you tell them. Tell them, shake the dust off your feet, and go on down the road, because you told them. Don't lose a minute's sleep over it. But don't give up. Just keep on praying. He says, I know your labors, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. A lot of us here in this church right now this morning, we cannot bear the things that are evil in it. We can't stand it. We can't stand the way our government is, the way it's being run. We can't stand the way that racism has taken over the whole world. They put everything on everything but Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worry about our schools. We worry about the disease that's going on in our world. We worry about all the different things, the suicides, all the bad things that we worry about that. God says, I see that you worry about that. Let me back up. I might have said something that maybe offended some of y'all. When I say racism, I'm not talking about any race. I'm talking about all races, because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, loves every one of you, and he sees every one of you just like everybody's the same. It's a level playing field. Nobody's better than nobody else. The wino under the bridge is as close to God as the greatest pastor in the world. He's as close to God as they're the same. But somehow we as men and women of God have got away from God. And the same thing is true with this church at Ephesus. They got away from God. I know your works. I know your labors. I know your patience. You can't bear those things that are evil. It's terrible to see the things that are going on in our world. Thursday afternoon in Houston, Texas, a coach at a junior high, he got on to some kids and tried to correct them in the PE class. When the bell rang and the coaches stand out where the people catch the buses, these six kids attacked the coach and run him across the parking lot and beat him down. Does that make you feel good? That just shows you what our world, that's what the word said. He said, you know, you're patient, you work hard, you labor, you do not, you know, all these things that are evil, you don't like that. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. There's a many sermon being preached this morning to people throughout this world that a man is standing behind a pulpit or wherever he's at, and all he is interested in is money. Heard somebody mention profits. 90% of the preachers, that's all they're interested in is profit. They're not interested in God. They don't really care if somebody goes to heaven or hell. They're interested in the money. They have taken their eyes off of God. And the church at Ephesus, just like the churches in the United States today, just like our church, maybe we have taken our eyes off the real things and put our eyes on the world. I mention all the time how it used to be. And I think about how it used to be. And I'm thinking about that. We talked about the prayer meeting in the men's prayer breakfast last Sunday. How it used to be. When I was a kid, and y'all have heard me say, I ain't going to quit saying it. Mentioned it a while ago. When they had a revival, they'd have the first revival that came to Oakhurst, Texas, this church was born from, was across the road over there, which was in my grandpa's pasture, which now was Brother Tommy Bennett, lasted 3 months. 7 days a week, 3 months. People come to church. I got pictures of my daddy had that shows hundreds of people being baptized down here on Carolina Creek. I'm talking about the whole bank was full of people. And they were seven or eight in the water and they were baptized and they stepped down. You know, that is what was going on in that day. And that's what God is telling the church. Paul was preaching to these people. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were saved. They were visiting, go read Acts. They were going from house to house, breaking bread. They were doing all the things they were supposed to do. They even had the first deacons called together, and they were to take care of the women and that were needy, the people, the widows. They were. Have we got away from that? That's what we're supposed to be doing. God is telling this church, look, you're doing this and this and this and this right. And it says, you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. You have labored. You have done everything that you have done. Think about Bible school and revivals and when we help the needy, when we pay somebody's electric bill. Do we do that in Jesus' name? Do we say, we give somebody something. Do we say, I want you to have this to buy some groceries, but do you say anything about Jesus? Think about that. Do you ever say anything about Jesus? You know, last night we had our Valentine banquet. And I'm going to stand here before you being your pastor for 15 years now. That is the first time that I've done a devotional at the Valentine banquet. What does that tell you? Sometimes we forget to pray. We got to put Jesus first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as you need them. But you put me first. And that's what this church was doing good. They had done everything that they were supposed to do. They were testing people. They were making sure that they were sound Christians, that they were, but they had went to the habit of worshiping false gods. Got away from God. We think of this church or churches that we go to in this world and say, that's the church of God. All of them got, you know, Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, Church of God, Baptist Church. All of them, when you think of church, you think of God. But are we representing God when we can't get a house full to come to church on Sunday? When we can't have a revival next week, these pews ought to, every one of them be full, and we ought to have to put chairs out because people. God is telling John on the island of Patmos to warn this first church in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus, that you are doing all of these things right, but the next thing he says, You labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Why? You have left your first love. You have walked off and left me and done things on your own. You are trying to get people into the church and run them through these programs, and you never run them through Jesus Christ. We have got to put Jesus first. Your pastor has got to put Jesus first. Every one of us has got to put Christ first in our life. It is time that the Christians of this country stand up and make a stand and tell people we're Christian. And yeah, some of us, we'll get to reading in this book here before the rapture of the church. Some of it, we're going to have to go through some things. It's not going to be easy. Jesus, I was reading a book Billy Graham wrote the other day, and Billy Graham said, I don't know why people are confused, because when you get saved, contrary to what the TV preacher says, and I say this all the time, it's not a bed of roses. Everything's not perfect. Matter of fact is, when you become a Christian, things get harder. Because when you're living like hell for the devil, you're doing everything he wants you to do. He ain't got to mess with you. When you come to God, he wants to try to take it away from you. But praise God, my Bible says that nothing will ever take it away from you. Nothing. Jesus will stand forever. He's nothing going to take him away from me. What are we going to do? Preach to the church. Well, we got a revival coming. People could be saved. People that you are praying for. I know you say, you might not get them all. You know, you ask them. Once you ask them, you've done all you can do. Try to bring them to church. But Jesus says, the church of Ephesus, you labored. You've done a lot of things. But nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember where you came from. I ask you a question. I asked myself this week, am I where I was at? Do I feel as good today as I did the day that I knelt down in Harmony Baptist Church out there on 105 in Grimes County, Texas? Do I feel the same way I did then? Do you feel the same way you did the day that you were saved? Remember that day? Hope you can remember it. Because you need to remember that. If you don't remember that, have you ever been saved? Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have fallen. You have turned from your first love. The first thing that come into your life was Jesus Christ. We live in an age and in a time where maybe that's not it. But, you know, people will use, I hate to say this, but God tell me to. We use him as an advertisement. We use him as the main liner. We use him to get people to church. Super Bowl today, they're going to be selling everything in the world. They're using that stuff to get people, to get them to buy that product. They're going to use it. But we as a church are supposed to be representing Jesus Christ. And come hell or high water, we need to be representing. We need to be doing what he says do. We need to be praying. We need to be reading God's word. We need to pray for revival. I get back to that prayer deal, and I can't help God just putting this in my head. And I'll say it over and over. I said, God, I done said that. He said, say it again. Right yonder in that building where we had the desserts last night, people have prayed for hours and hours. Right out here where the old tent sat when they had the camp meeting, people have prayed for hours and hours. Revival has lasted weeks and weeks. And people were happy. People were joyous. People did not let the world get them down. People loved each other. We used to go home Little Patty's back there in Brother Tide. Patty's mom and daddy, Brother and Sister Walter Underwood, and my mom and dad were best friends. They went everywhere together. One Sunday we'd go to their house and eat, and next Sunday they'd come to our house and eat. We visited. We went and saw people. We come together in fellowship, just like it done in the book of Acts. This church here, when it started, when Paul started, was coming together. They were doing the things that God wanted them to do, but then they went back to this unknown God, to this foolishness that the world presented at that time. And Jesus says, you know, you're doing all this right. And you look at this church. We're doing a lot of things right. Your tithes and offerings go to about 13, 14 missionaries every month. They go to three or four missions in the United States. They go to the food bank in Cold Springs, Texas. We're reaching out. We're doing some things that are good. But have we forgot our first love? Does it scare you this morning? I hope it does. Like this old Pollock got saved in Navasota, they told me, I scared the hell out of him. I hope I'm scaring the hell out of him. Because it is time that we got back to God's word and what God wants us to do. I'm telling you something. Brother Cherry is not going to hold anything back. Amen. Don't be offended. I told ladies, don't be offended at anything I say because I got to go. My wife will tell me on the way home, do you realize what you said? Or I will go back and look on the internet and watch my sermon and see what. Because this is all I got. And that's all we need. God said, nevertheless, I hold this against you. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. What does repent mean? Repent means that you're going this way. Turn around and go the other way as fast as you can. That's what it, and I am telling you, my daddy told me, all the preachers on that wall back there told me, Dr. Billy Graham preached, I can name preachers from on and on and on in the ages. They have preached it and preached it and preached it. But one day it's coming and I'm fast believing. Go home and read Matthew 24. It's like reading the Houston Chronicle. Everything that you read, and remember, the Bible was written long, long ago before any of this happened. I said something to that woman a couple weeks ago or somebody, and I didn't even know what I said. I didn't even remember it until it was brought to my attention. I don't know what I say because God tells me what to say. God said, nevertheless, I find this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. And do your first works, or else. What are you saying? Realize what God is saying here? He says, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. He will come quickly and he will remove the church. He will demolish the church. He will wipe away the church. Because if he is not being represented in his church, we've missed it all. Nevertheless, I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. I didn't say that this morning. Jesus Christ, remember from the introduction? John is on the island of Patmos. He has a vision. And God says that in the last days, people have visions. The Holy Spirit will break out and people will tell the truth about it, what God said. But John is having a vision, and Jesus Christ is the one that is telling myself and you and I, repent. Repent. Unless you repent, I'm going to come quickly. And I'm going to destroy it. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. Talk about prayer. Got off sidetrack. Prayer. We mentioned it last week. Some people say, Brother Thomas told me last week, was talking to a man, told him, really ain't no need to pray because God is going to do what he wants to do anyway. No. not right. That's not right at all. Many times in the Bible, God has listened to man. The most key one is Moses. God was going to completely destroy the children of Israel, wipe them off the face of the earth. Look at Solomon and Gomorrah. Prayer saved them. God, man, Moses was a man. He went to God and he said, no, God, don't do that. And God spared the children of Israel. Unless we repent, God said that he would come and take it away. But this you have against you. I hate the deeds of the Nickelodeon, which I also hate. Go read Chronicles 1, 16 through 20, you'll find out who God hates. He who has an ear. You got an ear? You got it? Mine's got little things on there. I can't hear, so God will give man the idea to create hearing aids out here. He who has an ear, you ain't got no excuse. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear not what Glenn Cooksey, the pastor of Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, is saying. Don't say nothing about that. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let him, let you hear what the Spirit says. Because remember, God said he walked among the churches when we first started out. He walks among the churches. He's telling the churches. You listen to me, and everything's going to be all right. But he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to you that decide. You know, not because the pastor said it this morning, not because of what I heard on the radio last night or some song, but it's because Jesus Christ told you to do this, you need to do it. If Jesus Christ is hammering on you this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is hammering on you to do something, you better do it. And he says, or else I will come quickly. I want to remind you about that. It don't make any difference who you are. It don't make any difference if you're old or if you're young. When Christ Jesus gets to the point that he's had enough for the church, the world, and you, he will come quickly. And when he decides that it's your time, you better know that you have repented and that your name is in the book of life. That's the only way to get it. That's the only way. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give and eat from a tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. Remember that tree of life? Adam and Eve tried it. Adam and Eve tried it, and you know what happened? Here we are. Why do we think that in 2022 that God is any different than he was then? God is the same. People say every day, I just don't understand why God hadn't come. You know why he hadn't come? Because he wants one more soul, we say. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, did not go to that cross for nothing. He went to that cross that you be saved. Will you listen to him this morning? Do you feel that in your stomach, that, you know, or do you feel in your mind, you know that God wants you to come, that God wants you to move forward, that God wants you to come down here and get on your knees? I'm not a preacher that's going to come down here and say, you come up to me and I'm going to say this prayer with you. And you read your Bible and everything's good. That's not what I say. God says confess your sins to him. Confess your sins to man and you shall be saved. And if you get saved and you obey God, God is going to change your life just like he changed mine and everybody else out there as a Christian. You're not going to be perfect. You never will be perfect. But let me tell you something. Your life will be changed forever and ever and ever if you just say yes. There's a verse. Hold on. There's a verse that the Lord wants me to read. Matthew 24:12. I can't even find Matthew, first book. Matthew 24:12, I don't know what it says. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. God just led me to that scripture. It has to do with the rest of these scriptures that we've read this morning. He says, come. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care if you've been going to church 45 years. I don't care if you've been coming to church since the first day you could walk. I don't care if you know the Bible backwards and forwards. I don't care if you pray night and day. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, when he gets tired, when he comes after you, regardless of whether you go in a rapture church, regardless of whether you go in death, when it comes your time, you're going to go before God. Hebrews 9:11 again, appointed a man to die, and then the judgment. It's not appointed a man to die and then go in some little room and y'all can pray him to heaven 15 years later. It is when you die, you're going to go before God. And whatever you have done, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. That's it. Ain't no more chances, not no lawyer, not no jury. It's between you and God. And God has already finished it on that cross at Calvary. He finished it, he bought it, he paid for it, and all you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me, and do your best. He don't even say that you say, I can't do that. I told you, I said, I can't do that. And I walked away from church. I can't be that good. You don't have to be good. Jesus was good for you. By his grace, you're saved. Not by somebody else's grace, not by anything you can do. It is by his grace. He shed his precious blood on that cross at Calvary. He arose. He walked among 500 people. He ate. People saw him. He was the first from the dead, as it says in Revelation. He was the first to die, the first to rise, the first to go to heaven, and he's going to come back and get you. John 14 again says, believe in me. Believe in my Father, also believe in me. Says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself. And old Thomas says, Lord, how are we going to do that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Father, let's stand. Father, I come to you this morning, and I praise you, and I honor you. Lord, I thank you that you are my King. God, I thank you that I don't think I have to be perfect no more, God. I thank you, Lord, that you went to that cross for me, Lord God. And I thank you for your word, and thank you for the power of your precious Spirit, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now, these people that are here this morning are without excuse. Because they have been told. You have warned them. And God, I pray right now that not one of them walks out of this church without getting on their knees and talking to you. And God, we know, as we said a while ago, Lord God, I can't save them. I can't lead them in a prayer. They got to say the prayer from the heart. That's confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. God, I pray that they'd come and get down on their knees, Lord God. And Father, ask you to forgive them and try to do the best job that they can do for you for the rest of their life. And Lord, I pray that you just send revival to this church, Lord God, that you would send revival here, Lord God, that lives would be changed, that chains would be broken, that walls would be torn down. But for one cause, Lord God, not for man, but that you, that people would see you, Lord God, and people would come to you, and that one day, when that eastern sky rolls back, And the archangel of God blows that trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise. I pray that those of us who are saved and left behind, God, and I pray there's many that will follow you and be with you for eternity, Lord God, in peace. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you, Father, for every drop of blood that you shed on that cross. I pray right now, if there's one, God, that doesn't know you, that they don't leave this building without making it right with you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. Christians praying. If you're a Christian in this church and you can walk or get on your knees, come down here and get before the Lord this morning and just pray. Pray for revival. Pray for our revival. Pray for Brother Cherry. Father, we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.